Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Rain on us tonight. Glory to God. We welcome each and every one of you to Eagles of Flight Hour. Amen. With my Apostle Marcus Dupree and also along with Prophet Selena Dupree, amen, we're going to get into the Word of God tonight. But before we do, we're going to go into prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, and we thank you for your presence, your anointing right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for leading and guiding us all out in ordering our steps in your word. And we thank you as we break the bread of life, Lord. We thank you as we share your word with your people, Lord God. We thank you for the encounter of your word, and we thank you for the impact in Jesus' name because, Lord, we understand it's your word and it's your power. And it's your power and your word, and we thank you right now for changing the results, Lord Jesus, as we receive the word of life, and we apply the word to our lives, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for an impartation of the word. We thank you for a change happening immediately in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, for even enlightening our minds in Jesus' name. Thank you for moving by your spirit, Lord God, and we thank you for the freedom that we have to flow in you tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Lord, we decrease that you increase in us now. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. Speak through us, Lord God. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' Master's name we pray. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome. All right, amen. Well, tonight we want to talk about divine healing. Divine healing is what we want to talk about tonight. Amen. And we want to touch up on that. We're going to really get into this study on divine healing. Why do Christians, be attacked? Why do Christians get sick? Why do, kids or people come into the world born in certain type of way, disfigurements and all kinds of things like that, different kind of unfortunate things that can happen? People say, "Well, we serve a perfect God, then why we have sickness and why we have all of that?" Well, that's a good question, and guess what? We have answers. Well, let's turn to Genesis. Chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the air, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. All right. And here we see where God has said that for us to be made in his image, in his likeness. So God didn't stutter when he made that statement. He didn't retract it once he said it. He said it. That's what he felt. Amen. That's what he believed. He wanted us to be made in his image and his likeness. And God is. We see in John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship the spirit and truth. So that God part of you that looks like God, we are a tripartite being. We are three parts. We've made. We are a spirit. We possess a soul. And we live in a body. Now, when we understand that, it lets us know that's the part that's made like God, not this flesh part is the shell, not your soul part, that's the emotions and your mind, will, and emotion. So when we think about that, the true part of you that looks like God is the spirit man. That's the part that's why he was able to make that commission, or he made that release before the first body was ever formed. Okay, now let's go to chapter 2, and we're going to see, verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, excuse me, and the man became a living soul. All right, so we see here where the first man is formed, the body, and he also he received the breath of life. So now he's made a living soul. And so verse 9 says, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight, good for food. The tree of life also is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So we see now where God continued to make, he had the tree set up in the garden and everything. So now we see where after man is made, his image and likeness, now he's put into a body, which is a shell. He breathed into life. So he gave that life, became a living soul. Okay, so now we're going to skip one of chapter 3, and we're going to see where the setup happens. So from that point, everything is perfect. Man is eternal, just like God. Is just perfect. He's man with a little, you know, God. Man is God in the situation, like a little G versus a big G. So here we see chapter 3. So now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto him, said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. For said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing God and knowing good and evil. So here we see a conversation which it shouldn't have happened, but it was a little conversation with the enemy, where Eve allowed herself to be convinced of the devil to take of the fruit, eat of the tree that she was not the forbidden tree. We all know the story about that. She ate and then Adam came back from hunting and he realized that, you know, Eve had eaten of the tree. Yeah, right. Adam was right there, so we're going a little further. So let's go a little further. In verse 6, it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also her husband with her. Oh, he wasn't him. He wasn't hunting after all. He was with her. All right. Just want to point that part out. And he did eat. Now notice, when she ate, nothing happened. She passed the rock to him and passed it on to him. And so he ate. All of a sudden, verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open. Because he ate, that caused her and his eyes to open up. Okay? And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig trees, fig leaves together and made them aprons. All right, so we know what happened here. Now, because Adam ate, it activated them to both see, which was not the plan of God, in this manner like this because of their disobedience. So now they have eaten of the fruit of the tree. Now, let's go to verse 9. The Lord called unto Adam and said, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. So see, because the sin make men cowards. Cowards of men, see. Just that just, you know, hear something. Yeah, well, God would spend time with Adam every day, and you could tell that because of this, now is this relationship is affected. Because instead of him engaging with God, he's running away from God. This lets us know, even when we think about the last time you sinned. Were you very, very quick to go run to God? No. It's a lot of times that's where we begin to separate from God. When we have to leave sin, it takes a whole lot to go back and repent to God and get it right. But a lot of people begin to drift on one thing after another after another. Then you find yourself, you discover that you're way off course with God. See how subtle that happens. Amen. Okay, just in case anyone who have a question in the comment, they call 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the question box. Anyone who may be online, okay, amen. All right, so amen. So we see this is happening up. And so as we go a little further, then so because of this happening, then he said, who told you that thou was naked? Has thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, it was a blame game. The woman whom thou gavest me, said to him, said, yeah, Lord, you know what? I shouldn't eat. I messed up. I shouldn't eat. No, he said, the woman thou gavest me. He didn't bring no attention to himself. He just would pass it on to her. And, of course, she did the same thing, too. She looked like Maggie Johnson on the court. She passed the ball and says, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said to the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And she said, the serpent beguiled me. He tricked me. He snuffed me from the side. And I did eat. So now she passed it on to the serpent. So anyway, long story short, the blame game comes in. So we wonder why sickness is in the earth. Okay, and so we go on a little further. And the Lord said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou shalt be cursed. Thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay, and so the woman, he took great pain and suffering and everything. All right, so long story short here, they suffer consequences for what they did. As a result of, man was to surely die. From that point, eternal life left them. They weren't eternal like how God was anymore because they took upon them death. Death was what was actually the sentence for what they got. So certain that when that time comes, he was surely going to die. Man was surely going to die. So, all right, now I say all that to say this, just to set up the foundation. This is how sickness comes in. So people come into the world with deformities. We come into the world different situations, different sicknesses going on. And we wonder, well, how come God sent them like that? It's not even necessary God. Because sin entered into the world, sin warps things. Sin dysfunction. Sin causes dysfunction. Sin is a disease. It's a problem. So because of that, now what was perfect, where people were coming out whole and complete, well, sometimes because of the sin in the world, people could come out with some sickness or disease or problems, whatever. Because of the fall of man, we've been exposed to almost anything. Now, it's by the blood of Jesus and your protection that, you know, you cover someone who's pregnant, you know, they cover the child with the blood of Jesus and really pray and cover and just for their protection. But normally, just for the fact of being on the earth, once you come into the earth, you're already into the sin nature from the beginning. So because of sin, this is where sickness came in. This opened the door for sickness and disease and everything else that's not good.
So there's this erroneous thinking that sometimes we hear people say, God put something on you to teach you a lesson, or well, you know, God's got, you know, he going to get you for something that you've done. know and realize that if God, where God is, we talk about dying and going to heaven where there's no sickness, no disease, no pain, and if that's where God is located, how does he put sickness and disease on you? Where is he getting it from? He doesn't have it stored up in a room somewhere in heaven, and when you do wrong, he just throws it out there and makes sure you get it. It's not of God. Sickness and disease is not of God. He doesn't house that. He's a God that's a healer, you know. And sometimes we do things that can cause things to happen or provoke things to happen. You know that if you are physically in a situation and your doctor says do A, B, C, and D, and you'd go completely opposite of that and something happens, okay, that's the result of your disobedience. You didn't follow the instructions. If you were given some medication for something and the prescription says complete until this bottle is empty, you know, you'll be finished when the bottle is empty, and halfway through you say, well, I'm just done with that, and it doesn't go away. God didn't have anything to do with that. A lot of times we hear things that are self-inflicted, and we blame God. I mean, for that matter, we blame the devil. And it's not even the devil having anything to do with it. It has to do with you using wisdom and the choices that you make. If you know that certain foods is going to cause you to break out in hives, then why eat it? You know, for some reason, your body's chemistry, makeup, that particular food doesn't sit right with you. So your body has given you enough signal, enough warning to let you know to stay clear of that, and you eat it anyway. Okay, I mean, the devil didn't do that. You chose, you made a choice, a conscious choice. There's this movie, I think it's called, is it Hitch? Is it that the one where the lady goes that eats, or Dr. Doolittle, Dr. Doolittle. And there, one of the patients that goes to the doctor, she is highly allergic to crustaceans or animals with shells like crab and shrimp and things like that. But she loves these crab legs. And every time she eats them, her eyes swell up, her face swells up. I mean, she's already a big lady. She just completely swells up. And she basically has to go to the doctor to get a shot. Well, nowadays they have EpiPens where you can kind of do it yourself. But on that particular movie, she had to go to the doctor to get a shot. Well, this lady would, because she loved the taste of that seafood, and instead of telling herself and her body, I'm just not going to eat that thing, because she loved the taste of that seafood so much, she would buy her seafood, put it in her purse, go sit in the doctor's office in the bathroom stall, eat it, and then she's right there at the doctor to get a shot. So she was willing to trade off, you know, her body going through that affliction in order to get what she wants. And sometimes it just seems like that's what we do as Christians, and then we blame the devil, and then we blame God, and then we say this thing, this praying and believing isn't working. When many times, if we think about it, it's self-inflicted, because even if you don't have a prescription or you don't have something concrete from the doctor saying that you shouldn't have this thing, your body tells you a lot of times what is good for you and what is not good for you. Man, every time I eat this pork, my blood pressure go up. Okay, that's a sign that your body doesn't work very well with pork. I didn't even season it high, and it's my blood pressure going up. That your body is telling you that this particular thing, for whatever reason, is just probably not good for you to eat, but you're refusing to listen to your own body. God has made us to be such complicated individuals, but most of our healing is within. Most of our bodies make up things that goes on with us. Our body tells us, but a lot of times we just refuse to listen to it. And so if your body is telling you something, you know, you probably need to listen to it. Sometimes you need to go and get a diagnosis. But the bottom line is not all of it's, you know, the devil, and none of it is God. We like to blame God for stuff that has nothing to do, you know, why God put this sickness on this person. God doesn't do things like that. Like I said before, if he has sickness bottled up somewhere, where is he going to get it? Because we talk about dying and going to a place where there is no sickness, there is no pain, there is no disease. So if we're going to a place where that is there, then it's not going to be any different than us being here on earth. And so we have to be careful in our speech, and sometimes we say things cliche without really thinking about what we're saying. We just say them because we've heard it said for so long, and we don't have any scriptural proof. We don't have any evidence. And those kind of things can shake someone's faith, because if I truly believe that God has put this illness on me, then there is no fight against it within me to stand for in faith and believe God for my healing. And furthermore, how could God be someone to put sickness on you and at the same time tell you to believe him for the sickness to go away? That doesn't make sense. He would be fighting against himself. So we have to be careful about what we're saying, because it can interfere with our faith in believing what God's word truly says to us. And we may not verbalize that, but internally, that's what's going on. You can't truly believe God for the healing because you truly believe that you got it because you were disobedient and God has put it on you. You may have gotten it as a result of disobedience, but it didn't come from God. It didn't come from him. It might have been some choices that you made, and you repent, you get yourself right, and then you walk in the faith that you're supposed to concerning your healing, and God will still heal you.
Amen. I want to take a look at the scripture. Let's look at 3 John chapter 2, pertaining to healing. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Now, this here says a lot, because this tells us it's not God's desire for you to be sick. It's not God's desire for you to be full of disease. It's not his desire for all. You know, God is not a hitman. He's not out to get you. No one paid him off. The devil didn't pay him off to get you. So here we see, he said, "I wish above all things." That's just the heart's desire, that thou mayest prosper. When we talk about prosper, that doesn't necessarily always mean money, but it could mean money too. The whole Bible talks about, when you talk about your life going forward and being whole, being healthy, having what you need for, you know, for supply. When you're talking about you walking, you're not walking in sin, not living in sin. All this is prospering. Because you're doing positive, you're positive living, going forward in Jesus' name. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. He said, and be in sickness, be in disease, be crippled. No, he said, be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So your whole spirit, soul, and body should prosper at the same time. You know, that's why the word of God is good for not only for the spirit man, but it's also good for the soul. You know, it's helpful to renew your mind, your way of thinking, the way of doing things, the way of your perception. Perception is everything, because the way we perceive a thing can make a difference on the outcome. Because if we saw something one way and we act on it another way, we can really miss the mark or really cause some damage. So that's why, for us to realize, be in health. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to take care of yourself, your body. Okay, and then the other one, let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and 8. First John 3:8, and it says, "He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning." Okay, let's establish that sin. He originates with from the devil, you know, from what happened, he committed from the beginning. "For this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Sickness, disease, those are works of the devil. You know, it didn't come from God. Now, aside from the fact, some things can happen. You have some freaky stuff that happen, you know. But originally, with Steph comes, you know, he's gonna be the mastermind behind it. And two, even if it was something that wasn't from him, well, he can jump on the bandwagon and begin to use it for, you know, far as to take it on to another level. So when we talk about the works of the devil, far as sickness, disease, and people suffering, poverty, lack, all this stuff, are works of the devil, works of Satan. He doesn't. It's not God's idea of perfect health. Prospering, those are contrary to the word of God. So when that's contrary to the word, that's why we have to stand on the word. What does the word say? He wants to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. And so that's why it's very important. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:19. So we understand sickness and disease is the work of the devil. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Let's look at that one. And we're going to see. Okay, why, you know, this is important for your body. He says, what? You did not know. You did not know that the body is the thy body, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. See, you. Okay, so that first part here says, we see here your body, how it ended says, your body is not your own. You were bought with a price. Let's go to the next verse. It says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. See, how can sickness glorify God? This calls us to think here. If Scripture is telling us to glorify God in your body, sickness can't glorify God. It would not. And in your spirit. Some people are not spiritually well. A sinner is not spiritually well. They're in a bad situation of sin. I mean, in a bad condition of sin. You know, and even like Christians are depressed and a lot of different stuff like that. A lot of oppression is going on. You know, so that's where those are contrary to the good health that God wants you to walk in, which are God's. So here's that you were bought at a price. So your body is no longer your own. You gave your life to the Lord because you gave your life to him. Now, that's why we have to take care of it simple. Now, we went from being an owner of our body to being a steward. It's like some people who are like the opposite of the world. You be a steward of a business, you know, as far as you work there as a manager, to someday owning it. Well, in this situation, it's the opposite. You were owning your own body. Even though you had no control of when the lights cut on and off, but you were an owner of your body. But now, because you gave your life to the Lord, now you go from an owner to being a steward of your body. Now, being a steward is one that is wise, takes care of someone else's property, because no longer is your body your own; it's the Lord's. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. There was an exchange made. This is why we have to do our part of keeping healthy, doing what's right as far as with our bodies, and make sure that we don't get kicked out. Amen. We allow ourselves to indulge in so much stuff the way it works against our body, we can get kicked out of our body. And that's why sometimes some people don't get healed, because they've got so indulged in doing it their way to where they ignore the instructions from God, whatever the case may be. God realizes, you know what, you don't want to be healed. Okay, if the enemy comes to take you out, then he may allow some things to happen just because you're destroying your own self anyway. That's why we have to be careful how we manage our bodies. You know, we can really hurt ourselves and do some things that's kind of, you know, it's not right, because once again, we're a steward. It's not your body. You have to respect God's property. Okay?
And because of that, not being your body, really, we know that sometimes healings are instantaneous and sometimes they're not. Your job as a believer is that when the Lord comes, that you are found doing what you're supposed to be doing, that you're found standing and believing God for your healing, that you're found speaking the word of faith against the enemy concerning your body, that you're not found sitting there letting things happen to something that has been loaned to you for a period of time. You know, if you were to borrow somebody's car, you're not going to park it in. I mean, you find yourself doing that just in a natural sense. You borrow something that belongs to someone, and people that have a heart to be good and do right, you probably won't drive it as rough as you drive your own car. You probably won't park it just in any space. You'll make sure you park it, you know, far from others because you don't want anybody to bump it. You don't close the door the same way because you know it's not your car. You want to return it in a good condition. And that's how God should find us with our bodies, simply because he's bought it. And we're really, like Apostle Marcus said, we're stewards right now. We're not the owners of our bodies. And so it will be a sad thing if your friend that lends you the car, let you borrow the car, looked out the window and saw you racing down the road in the car, revving the engine, squealing the tires. You know, if they saw that, you being careless with something that was precious to them, that they just let you hold for a period of 9 times out of 10, you'll never borrow their car again, because they see that you don't know how to value what they've worked hard to keep. You know, God has invested a lot in us. And in order for us to get the work that he has planned for us done in this earth realm, we have to physically be able to accomplish those things. And if we're not found doing what we're supposed to be doing, like Apostle Marcus said, we can get kicked out of this body. So when you think about being bought with a price, just be found doing what you're supposed to do. If the enemy attacks your body, the Bible tells us that trials and tribulations are going to come, and they come in different forms. They can be financial attacks. They can be physical attacks. They can be mental attacks, emotional attacks, spiritual, all kinds of attacks. But when God comes, are you sitting there letting the attack happen, or are you actually working to make sure that you stand against the enemy? We have a question in the queue box. Go ahead, or a comment.
Yes, I'm calling with the prayer request, calling for prayer.
You were calling in for prayer?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what is there something specific to need prayer for?
Yes, I applied for some jobs. I haven't heard anything back for them yet. I got my doctorate last November. So I'm praying for the job, the door to open up for me, and housing doors to open up on my behalf.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. What's your name, sister?
Sister Rick.
Sister what?
Rick's R-I-C-K.
Okay. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for Sister Rick calling in, and we thank you, God, for blessing her with the knowledge, the ability, and the skill set that she needed in order to function in this world system and all the things that she's been through, Lord God, to get the degree that you led her in a way to receive, Lord God. And, Lord, we thank you right now that we understand how this world system sometimes works. It's crazy. We can go out there and get all the things they say, and then sometimes still the doors seem to be just stuck in our way. And so, Father, we bind up everything that is causing a blockage from her to receive the job that she desires in the name of Jesus. We bind it now in the name of Jesus. We bind Satan and his cohorts and every tactic and every plan that he's trying to put forth to discourage her in the name of Jesus. And we loose the power of the Holy Ghost in her situation, that, Lord God, that her name will shine brighter, and her name and her credentials will look larger than anyone in any computer system, on any person's desk, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord God, you cause her resume to jump forward in the name of Jesus to wherever she sends it, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you are giving her, by the power of the Holy Ghost, the advantage in every situation, Lord God, so that she's able to get the position that she desires in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you that you will open so many doors, Lord God, that they'll be calling, and she will have, now she won't be sitting around waiting, Lord God, but she'll be sitting there with the opportunity to pick and refuse. Because you will have so many offers in front of her. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Holy Spirit. spirit.
Thank
that,
you,
Lord,
dear
God, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And in every situation,
yes,
Lord God, as born-again, blood-bought believers, that we have diplomatic immunity. And what would qualify us or look,
yes,
different or whatever to the world, Lord God, God, you move all those obstacles out of the way in the name of,
yes,
Jesus, and you put your people at the forefront in Jesus' name. And so thank you, Holy,
yes,
Ghost.
Lord.
We rejoice with Sister Rick ahead,
thank,
of time,
thank,
knowing,
Father,
God, that you are no, have no respect of a person,
yes,
and if you've done it for one, you will do it for the other. And Lord God, also recognizing that you love us so much and you carefully care for us so much,
yes,
that your word tells us you will withhold no good thing from us. And so thank you that by the power of the Holy Spirit that Sister Rick will have the job that is given to her, the desire of her heart, and Lord,
yes,
God, you will place her in a position, Lord Jesus, that she never even imagined that she could receive. And in that position, you will teach her. You will
thank
lead her. And no man,
yes,
will be able to get the credit, but you will get
thank
all the power and all
thank
the glory and the honor for it in the name,
yes,
of Jesus. And God, we
thank
just praise you for it right now in Jesus'
thank
name. Amen.
Thank
amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank
glory
praise
to God.
Amen. And
amen.
Thank you so much
thank
for
you
calling in.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Be encouraged. Amen. Glory to God. I see where the Lord is beginning to change your season, where it
thank
seems
you
like things have been blocked. You know, you've been blocked.
Yeah.
Some things you've been trying to get done. Even some opposition from people. This has been making things,
yeah,
a bit difficult. Glory to God. Thank you, God, for moving. I pray, Lord God, Lord, that you move. Even your grace be sufficient for her, Lord God, that where she's been fought against, Lord God, thank you for causing her to overcome. You
thank
caused
you
her to triumph, even in this battle, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We render the enemy powerless now in your life in the name of Jesus. We empower you and stronger in Jesus' name. We give, oh, glory to God.
Thank
we
you
thank
God
you for the words that's going to begin to speak out of your mouth. Begin to call your job in. Begin to say, job, come in. Do whatever
job,
the job that you desire, begin to call it in by faith in the
job
name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Begin to call out even the amount that you desire. Hallelujah.
Ooh.
The Lord said he's given us the desires of our heart.
Yes,
so even
Jesus,
because you put the time in to get your degree, you put the time in to get it done, you put the time in to
yes,
stand firm
yes
and finish it out and not quit in the midst of it. You put the time in so you have every right to call in what you
ooh
desire. Call in. We'll shout out. Call
in the
in
name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Call in. Call. Call.
Call
with
in
confidence. The more
God
you begin to call, call with authority and power. Call
yes,
in.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
That which you deserve in the name of Jesus. Listen, your Father, he has a cattle on a thousand hills. So you obviously he got more than enough for you. So glory
thank
to God. So call, and we serve a big God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So
yes,
glory
Jesus
to God. So begin to rejoice. Begin to rejoice before you get the manifestation. Begin to rejoice now in the spirit, because
Lord,
God has
hallelujah
already done it. In the name of Jesus, begin to rejoice now. And
thank
even
you
if we, Lord Father, we also thank you. We block the haters. We block the ones who try to make things difficult. But, Lord, we thank you for causing her to overcome
yes,
and triumph every
Jesus
single time. And we bind the spirit of discouragement. We bind those word curses they've been trying to speak against her. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We uproot every seed of sabotage in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank
they have no place in your life. Everyone who's been, well, even the spirit of sabotage has been sent against you. We command
yeah
it to go back to the pits of hell right now. The name of Jesus. We break also the cycle. We break every generational curse that's been upon you. In the
thank
name
you
of Jesus, Lord God. We all call right now for her body to be healed. Lord God,
thank
heal, restore, fully deliver in Jesus' name. That no sickness, disease has been passed on from generation to generation.
Yes,
will be your
Jesus
portion. In
hallelujah
the name of Jesus, it should not be your portion.
Oh, glory.
In the
thank
mighty name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. Father,
thank
we
you
steal her now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God
amen
bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Also the housing doors. Also housing doors, Prophet. Housing doors. Housing doors.
I'll say it again.
Housing doors. Housing.
Housing,
housing
doors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wait a minute, you see, so you were saying, okay, you said that's what you were believing for?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay. All right, so Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for opening up houses, housing door opportunities, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for giving her the desire of her heart. Lord, and even, too, it's very strategical where to live as well in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you right now for you leading her by your spirit, even as you told Abraham, go, and I will lead you. I will show you where to go. So, Father, we thank you even as she goes by faith. Lead her. Let her steps be ordered to the right place. And we thank you, Lord God, that you will divinely show her that this is the one, that she would not have, she would not be, it would be obvious, it would stick out like a sore thumb, that this is the one in the name of Jesus. We thank you for favor, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for favor, even with the landlord. Favor, Lord, not only with the landlords, but favor even with the realtor. Lord God, thank you, Lord God Jesus. Even some things that they're going to work out on her behalf when it comes down to the paperwork. Thank you for working some things out, Lord, on her behalf that's going to let her even the more that this doing is of yours.
You are
doing it. So, Father, we thank you right now.
Thank you, Lord,
heal her heart as well. Heal her emotionally when she's been scarred, damaged, broken in Jesus' name. Thank you for restoration in that area in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, because she's endured much. Thank you, Lord God, for giving her strength in this season to move forward and get a new beginning. Well, Father, we release now and we seal her in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Well, God bless you. Amen.
Thank
Have a great night, okay? Thank you for calling in.
Yeah. You are. Thank you.
All right, amen. So praise God. Say amen. As we begin to see how, once again, how God's divine plan for us to walk in divine health is not his desire for us to be sick or broken down. Amen. For anyone who needs to call in, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. So once again, you press 1 to get in the queue box. Glory to God. So, amen. We thank God for what he's been doing. Amen. But I want to go to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. We're talking about divine healing here. Amen. So, Acts 10, 38 reads as this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now you see, God anointed Jesus. Are you anointed? You're anointed too. He's anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. How many of you have the Holy Ghost? And with power. And we went to another scripture after this one. He said, and with power. In other words, that dunamis, the supernatural, that ability to get the supernatural abundance of ability to get that work done, that's that dunamis power. That's that power to get results. Knock some devil out. He went about doing good. Now, this is a key part, too. We can't be doing a bunch of evil and expect good. Let me say that. If we want good to come to us, let us please sow good. We can't sow evil and expect good to come out of that. That's not going to work. That's like me sowing an apple tree and I'm sowing the apple seeds and I'm getting oranges. Something's wrong with that. I wouldn't want to eat that. Something crossed up there. All right. And healing all, not some, not a few every now and then. Maybe every other time when they come together and pray. He's a healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Not of God, but of the devil. For God was with him, like he is also with you. God is also with you. They were oppressed. Oppressed means to be depressed, for them to be pressed on, pressed downward on you from the devil. See, the devil like on your back trying to push you down, trying to weigh himself down on you, and there's all kind of stuff. You find yourself, you know, you're weighing down like you're losing your energy, all kinds of stuff. There's an oppression that's on you. You don't feel like you can smile. Every time you smile, you feel like you're frowning. You know, come on, something's wrong. It's a spiritual thing. You got to get that spirit off. You rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. Keep getting up and smile. Tell somebody Jesus loved them. Glory to God. Now, let's go to Acts 1 in verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and of Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to receive power. See, this is how we're going to get our healing. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the power straight from heaven. We need that power from God. when the sickness and disease try to come at you, it tries to come and wear you out. And see, if you're not caught, if you're not careful, when it comes down to faith, the enemy is going to try and wear you out and cause you to be tired of fighting. So that's why we have to stand strong.
Amen. We see behavior like that in people that tend to have long-term illnesses, like terminal illnesses. They get tired and they get weary. And so you may know someone like that, or maybe you're someone like that yourself or in that position. When you get in a position like that, you have to call on help. You have to call on people that are faith-filled, not people that are going to come in the room and be, oh, you know, she's down on her luck. No, people that are going to come in the atmosphere speaking the word of God. It reminds me of the time, I believe it was it Moses that needed his arms? Was it Moses or Abraham that needed his arms lifted? It was Moses that needed his arms lifted. He needed help. You know, we are in the body of Christ. Sometimes we get so independent-minded, you know, copying and mimicking the world system that we forget we are to be each other's keeper. We're to be our brother's keeper. And if you see your brother or sister standing in faith and they look like their arms are going to fall, they look like they're tired because they've been in a fight for so long and they need a rest, then they need us to come and lift their arms up. They don't need us to do what the enemy would do and weigh them down. They need us to help lift them up. And so if you know someone in a position where they're in a terminal illness fight, you need to be speaking the word. You need to be speaking life in the atmosphere in which they're in. Speak the word only. They should only hear things like Jesus' healing scriptures, all the scriptures in the word of God that shows how much Jesus came in and he healed people, all the scriptures in the word of God that showed hope and faith and the power of the Holy Ghost taking place. Nothing of the enemy, nothing that the world system would present. Well, you know, Sister Sue got that same diagnosis, and child, she never recovered. I mean, why would you say that to somebody that's in a situation where they need some power from on high? You know, if you are a true brother or sister in Christ that is there to help, you speak the words of life. And sometimes even when people have, you know, within themselves, they have given up, if we speak the words of life and we speak the proper things, it can turn their around and they'll have the strength to fight more. But, you know, as believers, we have to remember that you don't want to be the one to cause the ship to go down. You don't want to be the one that we sink in because you're not hurling water out of the boat. You don't want to be that one. You want to be the one that says, if we're going down, we're going down with a fight. It's not going to be said that we just gave up, we just stopped. No, be the one to add strength and add life through the word of God. I mean, just speaking the word of God alone will do it, because the word of God is full of power, the word of God. And the more that you believe what you're saying, the more power is pushed forth through it. You can't tell me something and you're not a believer of it. That's like me trying to sell something that I don't really, you know, you have those salespeople that you can really tell that they believe in their product. And then you have those salespeople that, you know, they just selling it just to make a buck. They don't really believe it in themselves. That's why when I go to a car dealership, I just think it's so funny. You trying to sell me a Honda and you driving a Toyota. That just don't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me, because it tells me that you really brand new in this thing, or you've been in this thing a long time and you really don't believe in your own product. And if you don't believe in your product, how can you convince somebody else? And so those of us who are born again, we are selling this Bible. We are selling the word of truth, and we have to present it as if we know and believe it. How else are you going to draw people to it? And then even within ourselves, knowing that this is our road map, the word of God being our lifeline, you're standing in faith for your healing, you speak this word and know that this word is true, that when you speak it, you cause the demons and the imps and all those devils out there awaiting your trip up and your trip fall, you cause them to tremble just by you reading a scripture, because they know that you're reading it from the depths of your soul and you believe everything that is said in it. And so you have to come with this word of God, knowing that when God says that you are healed by his stripes, that you are healed by his stripes. When he said, believe only and you will be healed, then you believe only so you can be healed. When he says, say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, then you say unto the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Don't stand there talking about you want to climb the mountain and you want to climb the rough side, because if you climb the smooth side, you will slide down. Don't be talking about
Lord,
no foolishness like that when the Bible clearly gives us instructions on what to do about the mountain.
Help us, Jesus.
That sickness is a mountain in your life. It's something hindering you from fulfilling the plan and the purposes that God has for your life. Because if you're on your bed, how can you go out there and win the loss? How can you lay hands on the sick if you're on your bed? So don't embrace what the enemy is dishing out to you. Stand up as a born-again, blood-bought believer,
Lord,
knowing the power that's in you, knowing the anointing that's in you,
yes,
knowing that you're the head and not the tail, knowing that you're above only and not beneath, knowing that God is situation and not on the bottom.
Come on, you don't have
to speak those things and believe it. You have to have that stuff in your heart, but you have to put it in order for it to come out.
Come on now. Oh, Lord. You don't preach fire. Come on, my Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. My God, my God. All truth. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, verse 24. And Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Listen, it is kingdom for you to walk in divine health and holiness. It is kingdom for you to live and prosper and be in health, if he that your soul prosper. It is kingdom for you to destroy the works of the devil. It is kingdom mindset, glory to God, not a village, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Look, Jesus wants you to walk with power, walk in power. He don't want you to walk with that pancake stuff that you know, well, if the Lord is if his Lord will, I'll have, if not. Look here, you know it's the will of God for you to be healed. Stop accepting what the enemy throws out to you. This is part of the problems that we have in the body of Christ. We're so quick to easy to accept what. How is it that someone can deal with the symptoms of something for 2 or 3 years, and all of a sudden, once they find out for sure or confirm what they kind of fell aside, all of a sudden they find out it's the big cancer. All of a sudden, 2 months later, they're dead. You mean tell me you struggle with the sickness for 2 years prior to that, and just now you heard the name of it is what you're dealing with. To give up. Something is wrong with that. You fought that long and you still here, then you still can fight. You still can win. Amen. But you got to believe. Just no one can convince you. You got to know and believe within your heart. You have to take what's being presented to you and truly receive that thing as your own. Verse 24. And his fame went throughout all Samaria, Syria, and they brought to him all sick people that were taken with divers disease and torments. See, how can disease and torments be of God? That's not that. That's sickness. That's from the enemy, because he wants to torment you. You know how he give you a form of him tormenting you. You say if you have the cancer and whatever the case may be. Oh, you're not going to live past through the night. Look at you. Look at death right now. I mean, he's beginning to torment, tell you all this kind of stuff. And they're saying, you fussing in the air. No, you liar. No, instead of you speaking from and with authority, say that I bind you up. I bind up that every spirit that's trying to talk, every hindering spirit, every spirit of sickness, every spirit of cancer, begin to call that thing out, bind it up, cast it into the sea, cast it away, command it to go back to the place of hell from whence it came. You have to dismantle, God, you have to dismantle the works of the enemy. You cannot massage a demon. You got to cast that rascal out. You cannot sit there and play and entertain when your life is in the balance. Because, see, where you were standing in the faith, the more you play around, and listen, don't sit there and allow the enemy to have no conversation with you. Shut that rascal up. Don't even, oh, gosh, Jesus told him, the enemy began to, the spirit in that man, when the man began to try to speak to him, he said, hold that peace and come out. In other words, shut up and come out. Don't let him sit there and you listen to all this stuff. Next, you feel your head with a bunch of doubt. You was believing, but after the previous conversation with the enemy, now your faith is all shaky. Oh, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Well, you were talking faith a few minutes ago. Don't be so quick to give it to the enemy. He's the enemy. You got to fight back. Glory to God. Amen. If we think about 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he said, casting down imagination, every thought is high, every high thing. You got to cast it to try to exalt yourself against the word. So when anything to try to exalt yourself against the word of God, you got to cast that thing down. Bring it back into subjection. Bring it down. Cast it down. Throw it away. You know, you don't sit there and let it linger and you hold on a conversation and debate about, oh, I don't know, I can be healed. You have to know I'm healed. You got to take the word as it is. There's no playing around with. You got to be aggressive. When your life is in the balance, that's not a time to play marbles with the enemy. You got to take back what is yours. Take back your health. Glory to God. Okay, glory to God. Amen. So, amen. We'll wait till next time. Amen. So, but once again, so we have to be aggressive about healing. You know, you can't play around and allow the enemy to have ground on you and just say what he want to say to you, and you sit there and take it, and you sit there and listen to it. You got to know when to shut stuff off, even when it comes down to other people. If people, like my wife was saying, if people come to you and they're not talking, we had a conversation some years back. If for some reason he wasn't been in the hospital or whatever and needs some serious care or whatever, the kid may be, we're not going to let anyone coming in or like, oh, my God, crying. Look at you, need to keep them out. Kick them out. I don't want to hear that. You don't need to hear that. Bottom line, because if I'm standing and believing God, I need people coming and speaking in faith, not no doubt, crying. Oh, my God, they don't look here. We don't need you to talk about the facts. There's a difference. We see the facts. The facts may say, I may not look good, but I don't need you to sit there and repeat it and just focus on that. Give me the truth. The truth is what's going to set me free. Amen. So glory to God. So we thank God for each and every one of you tonight. Amen. And once again, the number is the call 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the queue box. And we thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for each and every one of you for listening tonight. We pray that you receive something from the word. We have to pick up what we left off for next week. But amen. But you're talking about divine healing. You got to be aggressive. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, as we pray, and we thank you right now for your awesome people tonight. Thank you that they received from your word tonight. Thank you that even as they're encouraged by your word, thank you for them grabbing hold of this thing and being aggressive with it, Lord God, that they would not sit back and allow the enemy to steal their health. In Jesus' mighty name, let them be aggressive to the point when you said the kingdom of violence is violent and the violence taken by force. So, Father, we thank you by force. Let them take back what is theirs. In Jesus' name, by force, let them stand and believe what you said in your word. So, Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, you are awesome and you're mighty. Thank you for doing awesome work, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for having your way in the name of Jesus, God. Thank you for the release of your anointing and your power in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you for healing and restoring our health. And Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the manifestation of your truth of the word. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, touch each and every one on this line right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we give you praise, honor, and glory. Your son, Jesus' name, we pray. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Well, we thank God for each and every one of you. We ask you if you can join us on Eagles Wings International Ministries line. We will be on the line Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The number is 843-619-0410. Amen. And also that same line, no code, on Sundays at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time as well. That number again is 843-619-0410. And we thank God for each and every one of you. We love you. Have a great night. Amen.
Amen. Good night.
I don't know what the future. I just don't know. I don't know what I'll be doing 10 years from now. I just don't know. But I believe that I'll be singing or teaching God's holy word. Oh, it's in my heart. It's dark and dreary. I can't hardly find my way. Sometimes my burdens get so heavy that I can't stop having sleepless nights and lonely days. But I believe if I keep holding on, God is gonna comfort me and keep me strong. Cause it's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is.
Serve the Lord.
It's way down on the inside.
It's in my heart.
Oh, Lord.
Serve the Lord.
God planted his love.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is.
Serve the Lord.
He put it down in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Come on, baby.
Listen.
Now, I've been singing for a long, long time. I'm not gonna give up. Said I got a made up mind, yeah. I've been lied on, mistreated by my so-called friends. But if I had another chance, I'd do it all again. It's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Oh, yeah.
It's in my
heart. Got it down in my. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.
It's in my heart.
Father.
It's in my heart.
Father.
It's in my heart.
I just want you to know. I'm not doing this for shape, form, or fashion. I just want you to know. It's down in my heart. The reason I'm here tonight. Cause it's in my heart. And I want you to know. I want you to know. Mama and daddy, when I was a little boy, mama and daddy raised us up in the church. They didn't send us to Texas. They took us to church. Can I get a witness out there? And if we got to the church house and act like we didn't want to go in, mama would catch me in the collar and she'd drug. Mama and daddy drug us to church house. I wish I had a witness out there and just planted it in my heart. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, Lord. It's in my heart. Many times we didn't get paid, y'all. But I kept on singing anyway, because I had it in my heart. Can I get a one witness? Can I get a one witness? Deep down in my heart, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, well, wait a minute. I'm not through yet. Y'all act like y'all don't know what we're doing up here. Come on. You got it?
It's in my heart. It's in my heart.
Oh, yeah.
It's in my heart. It's in my heart. It's in my heart. It's in my heart.
And you know, Melvin,
it's in my heart.
You know what?
It's in my heart.
Somebody asked me
it's in my heart.
Just the other day.
It's in my heart.
say, "Hallelujah." How can you shake a person's hand and you know they don't like you? I told him, the reason I do it is in my heart. I got a phone call not too long ago. Somebody said, "Hallelujah, how can you leave your family?
Look out.
And go sing all the time." I told him, "I love my family."
Ooh, yeah.
"I love my family."
Yes, I do.
"I love my family."
Oh, my.
"But the reason I'm doing
it,
there's a reason I'm doing it,
because
it's in my heart. I got to love my enemies.
Yes, yeah.
I got to love my friends.
And
whenever you see me, I'll be serving the Lord.